Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Turns Allowed, where pursuing promotion is our business.
I love it.
I think it's great.
Join us as best-selling author, publisher, our owner, and host, Shamil Alston, brings you interviews with today's top authors and industry specialists.
Definitely the best.
Fun for everybody to enjoy.
Here's our host, Shamil Alston.
Good afternoon and welcome to Right Turns Allowed Talk Radio. My name is Shamil Alston. I am the host this afternoon. We are supposed to be having a show this afternoon where we're going to be discussing communication. We're waiting on our caller to call in and just join the conversation. So until she does, since this is our first show, we'll just go ahead on and give you a little bit of information about the company, what we do, and how authors can benefit from it. Well, Right Turns Allowed Incorporated is a company that pursues promotions for authors. And basically what we do is provide promotional outlets for authors, from book trailers to book signings, radio interviews, television interviews, blog tours, you name it, press releases, distribution, websites, we do it all. And we do that to make it beneficial and affordable for new aspiring authors. As a published author of 3 books myself and currently in the midst of the 4th one, I know how hard it is for authors to get that one particular break that you need. And, you know, what's the right path for me to take to promote my book? So this company is dedicated to helping you get your book noticed by the world. So that's what we're going to be doing. And again, today we're supposed to be talking with Dr. Roseanne about communications, and the topic is communications is not a four-letter word. Later on this week, on Thursday the 12th at 1 o'clock, we will have Ms. Cheryl Pickett, and she will be discussing publishing possibilities, 8 steps to understanding your publishing outlook. And basically, it's a roadmap for you to design and come up with a strategic plan on how to promote your book, because as an author, writing our book is the easiest part. We probably thought it was the hardest until we began trying to sell the books. But now we see that writing the book is the easiest. The hardest part is getting that book promoted. And then also on Thursday at 6 o'clock, we will have author Teresa Butler stopping by Right Turns Allowed. She will be promoting her book, Simon Says, and it's a children's series teaching manners and good ethical skills. And so the first one is Simon Says Trust. So that's going to be a good one. And we're looking forward to that. That's going to be Thursday evening on the 12th at 6 p.m. And then if you join us on the 23rd, we have Dr. Roseanne again, which will be another interview with her, and we're going to be discussing her book, Lay Your Cards on the Table, 52 Ways to Stack Your Personal Deck. And then following that, on March 9th, we will have a video conference with Dr. Roseanne, in which she will explain customer service and how we can tie that in as authors when we're trying to get published and when we're trying to get book signings and just interacting with media, interacting with customers. So how can we utilize the customer service techniques to improve our chances of being a successful author? And then our schedule is really becoming booked. For authors who may be listening, and if you would love to have your book, interviewed and spotlighted on the show, please visit us at www.rightturnsallowed.com, and we would love to promote your book. We still do not see the caller on the air. We're going to go ahead on and we're going to end the call. If she does show up, we'll come back on immediately. Thank you for stopping by.
Welcome to Right Turns Allowed, where pursuing promotion is our business.
I love it.
I think it's great.
Join us as best-selling author, publisher, our owner, and host, Shamil Alston, brings you interviews with today's top authors and industry specialists.
Definitely the best.
Fun for everybody to enjoy.
Here's our host, Shamil Alston.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Right Turns Aloud Talk Radio. I must apologize. The mistake was on my end. I gave out the wrong calling number, so we will get that corrected and make sure those who were planning on listening will get excerpt and will be able to hear this broadcast. But basically, before we begin, I just want to talk about, just briefly give an introduction to the company. Right Turns Aloud is a company that offers promotional outlets for authors. So from book signings to book trailers, radio interviews, television interviews, we offer whatever the author needs to get their books promoted. Today, we're going to be discussing a very serious topic, and that is communication. Joining us is Dr. Roseanne. And Roseanne, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, so rather than botch it, I'll just ask you to introduce yourself to our listening audience, please.
Okay, can you hear me?
Wonderfully.
Fabulous. So my name is Roseanne Dosilio, and I am by profession an industrial psychologist, and that means that I know the pulse of companies. I am known as the champion for the human in a very high-tech world. I'm a customer service expert, a communications expert, and I'm president of Human Technologies Global, and we provide needs assessment and world-class live customized customer service skills training specific to the customer care or call center industry, but outside of that industry as well. And I'm the author of 5 books. The first
Wow.
one that I, yeah, my baby, the first one I ever wrote is called Wake Up Your Call Center, Humanize Your Interaction Hub. That's in its 4th edition. My second book is called Customer Service and the Human Experience. The third one is called Lay Your Cards on the Table, 52 Ways to Stack Your Personal Deck, and that has a 32-card deck that comes with it. That one is motivational, inspirational readings, where all the others are more in the customer service and communication arena. And then
okay.
my last 2 books are called How to Kick Your Customer Service Up a Notch, 101 Insider Tips, Volume 1, and just came out, How to Kick Your Customer Service Up a Notch, another 101 Insider Tips, which I think of as Volume 1 and Volume 2 of over 200 tips on improving customer service.
Wow. It, as we can see, you have been very, very busy in the in the customer service area. And I thank you. We want to thank you so much, Dr. Dosilio, for joining us this afternoon for our discussion. And truly, I believe that you have a lot to bring to the table for our authors and our members. Even though you're dealing with customer service, mostly in a professional arena, so to speak, it is going to be beneficial for the authors to understand the practices and principles of customer service also, because when we boil it all down, we are trying to get customers. We are trying to get customers to purchase our books, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to move on into a little bit more of that. But before we really talk about your book, what I want to ask you is, how in the world did you become a customer service specialist? What got you started in that industry?
That's a great question. It's pretty interesting. I was in a whole other industry. I was putting on trade shows and conferences. I was a certified corporate meeting planner, and I did that for 10 years. And then I remarried, and I moved about an hour and a half away from where I was working in New York City. And it was a press. The traveling was a press for me. And I decided that I was going to go back to school. And so I went back to school, and I went for a master's and a doctorate at the same time. I don't know how I did it looking back, but I did. And the gift of going for both was you didn't have to do a thesis for your master's. You only had to do a dissertation for your doctorate, but you didn't get your master's until you successfully orally defended your dissertation. So it wasn't like you could, and I wasn't a quitter, so that part didn't challenge me at all. And when I went to do my dissertation, in talking to my professor, at that time I was doing wellness programs. I had stopped smoking and I was doing smoking cessation programs for a local hospital. And then I got licensed on my own and I went out in the corporate world helping people stop smoking. When business got bad, this was about 15 years ago, the first thing to go were wellness programs. So I decided that anyone that wanted to stop smoking already did, so I became a stress management consultant.
Okay.
So I was going to do my dissertation on stress, and the professor says, no, you can't do that. It's overdone. And we talked some more, and I decided to do it on conflict management because I wanted to make a contribution to the world for win-win when we live in a win-lose or lose-lose construct.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up doing my case study at a utility company's call center.
Okay.
And as a result, and it was called The Impact of Conflict Management Training on Customer Service Delivery. And the company said that it wasn't going to work. I said, I think that it's possible to have a conversation with a customer, if you're a good communicator, and take it to a productive interaction, even if the answer is no. And they said, no, you won't be able to do that. Well, I did it. And we were able to see what the difference was, and it was statistically significant, and everything that was needed for academia.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I was... As soon as I graduated, I got a website and I got an email address, and I called someone from a magazine because I was going to see if I could speak at a conference. And the person said to me, do you have email? And I had just gotten it 10 minutes earlier. Long story short, I spoke at that conference, and I never knew that conference attendees loved case studies. I presented my case study. And from then on, I became a specialist in the call center industry. I spoke at conferences literally all over the world, and I talked about my case study, and then I wrote my first book, and that was in support of my case study, and then I wrote my second book, and because it's such a high-tech world, I was the one running around going, hey, don't forget the people. We're the what makes the difference. Just the way the preamble to the Constitution says, we the people. You know, hardware and software is wonderful. It supports us. It doesn't replace us. And so I became known as the champion for the human, and I went into my own business, and I did speaking engagements because that was my way of doing sales, getting my name out there, selling my books. Now, I can't quit my day job. I don't do book tours. I don't travel around like that. But I do sell my books. Sometimes I sell my books as support when I'm doing a training so that everyone gets a copy of one of the books. Sometimes I sell them in the back of the room when I speak. Sometimes I'm going to be speaking at a conference next month, and you're not allowed to sell your books there. So everyone has their own rules.
Right.
Now I sell them on my website, which I never used to do before because I didn't want to be in the book-selling business.
Exactly.
But
well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. As I listen to you talk, Dr. Roseanne, it is very obvious that you have truly have an extensive journey through this process of customer service. And when I was speaking with you, today's topic is communication is not a four-letter word. Can you explain to us what that means? And if it's not a four-letter word, then tell us what it is.
Okay. Well, it's not a four-letter word, and the four-letter words I'm thinking about are talk or chat
mm-hmm.
or blab. most people, here's the good news and the bad news. I could say to you, I'm going to give you a word, and you could talk on that word forever. And then I could stop you and give you another word, and you could talk on that word at a moment's notice. We can all talk about almost anything at a moment's notice. In the computer in our brain, we have lots of programs. What we think, what we feel, what we believe about something, even things we know absolutely nothing about. That's the good news. The bad news is that this is what people call communication, and it's only talk.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because poor communication is the most frequently reported single major source of frustration today, both on a personal level and a professional level.
So then how are we to communicate effectively?
Okay. For me, in order to talk about something, I like to define it. So this is my definition of communication. Communication means a message was sent, it was received, and it was understood.
Got
so that means that we're responsible for our communication. And since
okay.
we spend about 80% of our day communicating,
mm-hmm.
what's important is that only 7% of it is words. I'm going to repeat that. Only 7% is words. 38%
wow.
is tone of voice, and 55%
mm-hmm.
is physiology or our body language. So if
wow.
we're on the phone, which we're on now, it's all about my tone of voice more
exactly.
than the words that I'm saying.
Right. So let me ask you this, Dr. DeCilio. When we're dealing with the communication under the definition that you gave us, okay, and again, Right Turns Aloud is focusing on offering promotional outlets for authors, how is this beneficial to authors? How is understanding how to communicate more effectively, how will that benefit the author?
Well, very simply, if what I want to do is sell my book and I'm not clear in my communication to who I'm speaking with,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get what I want. What I'm going to get is all the reasons why I don't have what I want as compared
mm-hmm.
to the results. So I don't want to leave it up to luck, fate, or an accident.
Right.
I want to be clear. I want to be concise. I want to speak in what I call muscle words. Muscle words are very specific. For example, if I were to call someone or one of your listeners wanted to call someone about getting a booking or a speaking engagement or a book tour,
mm-hmm.
and the person said, well, I'll call you back as soon as I get a chance. That's what
right.
I call a fat word. As soon as I can, as soon as possible, when I get a minute, when you get done with this. It has different meanings for different people. It's sort of ambiguous and vague. And
right.
I want to know specifically. So the two words that I would give you are, quote, unquote, by when. By
okay.
when will I hear back from you?
Got you. And that leads me into the next question, because as I was reading through your books and the one How to Kick Your Customer Service Up a Notch, 101 Insider Tips, tip number 89 is how to control the conversation. So talk to us more about that. Help the authors understand how they can control the conversations they have. And these conversations may be with a publisher. It may be with the public when you're doing a book reading. It may be with a distribution company. It may be with a literary agent that you're trying to get. So, show us as authors some of the things we need to say, some of the things we might need to put into our daily practices so that it becomes habit that we can do to control the conversations that we want to have, thus helping us promote our books even further.
Okay. So I don't remember what tip that was, actually, because after I write them, I never read them. But the
okay.
difference between if what I want to do is control the conversation, then
mm-hmm.
I need to notice whether I'm using open-ended or closed-ended questions.
And give
so,
us an example.
I'm going to give you an example. A closed-ended
yes.
question would be fact-finding. Are you the person that has responsibility for booking authors? The answer is yes or no. If the answer is no, can you tell me who is? Yes, it's Mary Jones. That's a closed-ended question. You're in control because the answer is yes, no, or a number, or a person. It's a fact.
Okay.
An open-ended question would be like an essay question.
Okay.
Can you tell me what it takes to be a literary agent? Now they could take you all over the planet. How am I going to get them back if they're going off on a tangent and they're not answering really what I'm asking them? So we don't want to insult anybody, we don't want to interrupt anybody, and we don't want to disrespect anyone. So the minute they're done, you get or they take a breath, you can say, what a great education or what great information you've just given me, and then you ask a closed-ended question. Now you're back in control.
Wow. And that is good information right there.
So a way to do that, I just want to give you one more way to do that, is to be able to say, this is a really good information, and then rephrase it. So if I understand you, if I do A, B, and C, did I get that right? Now all they can say is yes or no.
Okay.
Otherwise, they could take you down the merry way, and it may not be where you want to go.
Right. I hear you, and you may never really get the answer that you're looking for. And with authors, you know, writing, everything is so, it costs so much, and time is of the essence. You don't have a whole bunch of time. So it's imperative that we know how to control, not manipulate a situation, but control a conversation. Very, very different. And so I thank you for sharing that information with us. And then again, I want to go down to another tip of yours. I know you don't say you don't remember them. It was tip number, but I fully understand because that's how I am when I write.
Okay.
But tip number 69. When you talk, it says watch your verbal writing patterns when you are communicating.
That's a good one.
Yeah, talk to us about that. Explain the verbal and the writing.
Okay, before I do that, I just want to piggyback on what I said before. When you're having a conversation with anyone, whether it's face-to-face, over the phone, or in an email, stand at the end and look back and say, okay, what is it that I want out of this conversation? And then you get to back into the questions that you want to ask because you're focused on what the outcome is.
Gotcha. And can you repeat that one more time because that was wonderful.
Okay.
Repeat that.
I stand at the end and say, okay, what's the end result I'm looking for? And then I back into the questions that will get me to that end result.
There you go. That's good advice right there.
Yeah. No. Not to answer your question that you asked me.
Exactly.
I call those verbal patterns.
Okay.
So a verbal pattern is asking a question like, do you think that's a good idea? When it actually hides a statement, because you think it's a good idea or you wouldn't even bring it up.
Right.
So better to say, this seems a really good idea to me, or this seems ineffective or inefficient to me because. Otherwise, you're giving your power to someone else and not expressing who you are in the matter.
I hear you. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense.
Okay. Another one would be a tag question. I'm very guilty of this one. I'm always cold, and I'll say to someone, it's cold in here, isn't it? When in fact, what I really want to say is, could you turn the heat up? I'm freezing.
Okay.
You know, so it says I don't have an opinion of my own, so we don't want to do tag questions, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So then when you talk about the writing communication, because we are, after all, authors, so talk
yes.
to us about what we communicate or what we project through writing, how to communicate effectively, more effectively in that manner.
It's exactly, I don't care whether it's written or oral or even mimed. It's still, there's still patterns that you want to avoid. For example, I'm sure you've seen this in writing before. This probably isn't very important, but, or this might sound like a silly idea, but... And whenever you do that, people say, okay, then I mustn't have to listen to what you're saying because it's probably not important anyway.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
When you write, compared to verbal, when you write, there's not a lot of forgiveness. When you're communicating and you think you're not getting across to the other person, you can say, you know what? I'm not getting this, my point across. Let me begin again. It does two things. It brings somebody back who's gone away from the conversation. It brings them back in focus with you. And if you're not doing what you think is the best way of communicating, you're able to start over. You can't do that in the written word. The written word lasts a long time. So what you want to be careful of are the words you use over and over again, like probably or sort of or maybe or you know, because they take away from the strength of not only what you're saying orally, but what you're writing.
Okay. So it basically diminishes it, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's like take out the words you don't need in the sentence and then see how that sentence reads.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like fluff. You get rid of the fluff.
So that you're just left with the substance.
You're left with the substance, and it's succinctly written substance. You try saying that fast three times.
No, 3 times. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to your book, Dr. DeCilio, Customer Service and the Human Experience. I found Chapter 8. The whole book is wonderful, and for the listeners, I urge you to get it. Customer Service and the Human Experience, it will really enhance your opportunities of promoting yourself adequately. But in Chapter 8, where you're dealing with managing time productively, you list two acronyms in that chapter. The first one is SODA, and the second is SPACE. Can you break down each acronym for us and let us know what you mean by those?
Okay, which book are you in?
I'm in Customer Service and the Human Experience, and I'll read it out to you. SODA, you say simplify, organize, delegate, and automate. So if you can break down each one of those for us one by one and tell us why us being able to do that is an important thing for us. Why?
Okay, now again, you know I'm going from the top of my head. I didn't know you were going to ask me that question.
That's fine.
Okay, so simplify is what, let's say that we all have a garage or an attic in our house or apartment, and we've moved there way back when, and there's some cartons that we have never opened since we moved.
Okay.
And we've now living in our new place for 5 years. Simplify says get rid of that carton.
Right.
Simplify says we should have 3 piles, a yes, a no, and a maybe for tossing. And the maybe becomes a no if it hasn't been used in 5 years or 3 years or whatever your boundary is about it.
Okay.
That's simplify. Organize is to get rid of clutter because what is on the outside is on our insides. So what does that mean? If you get a lot of magazines like I do, I get a really lot of magazines, business journals and things like that. And if I put them, wherever I put them, that's where they're going to stay. So, and I get a newspaper delivered every day. So stack up, not out.
Okay.
Then if you have a desk and you've got... You know, the same way the snail mail comes in, first class, second class, third class. Third class I don't even keep, I throw away. But if there's something I'm interested in reading, it goes in a pile that's not a priority for me.
Okay.
But first class mail, which I don't really get a lot of mail anymore, but first class mail is a priority. Emails, I do the same thing, I prioritize my emails. If it's important, I print it out. If it's not important, it stays there. And in my downtime, which is 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when I do those emails. I don't ever take on a major project at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's my time that I want a nap or chocolate.
Okay.
My time to take on a project is in the morning.
Okay. And I need to join you with that chocolate, though.
And what that is circadian rhythms. You know what circadian rhythms are?
No, explain that to me.
There's certain times of day when we have high energy, and there's certain times of day when we have low energy. And so what we want to do is match our low energy time to mindless jobs like reading your email, and your high energy time to things that need 100% focus and you at your best.
Okay.
So if you're getting ready to write a new book and your 4 o'clock is like my 4 o'clock, that's not the time to do it. But 8 o'clock in the morning, for me, that's the time for me to do it.
I hear
and
you.
Sometimes I get rid of what I call sniglets, and that's taking care of a bunch of little things, and then I go to the big thing. And other times I put the sniglets away and I tackle the big thing.
Okay.
And for me, that works.
Okay.
And my productivity is much better because I'm using my own rhythms to match what I'm doing.
And, you know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking that that might would be a very good cure for writer's block. If we, you know, the times that we're slow energy, use that time to just relax your mind and not worry about what the next sentence is going to be. Just allow yourself complete time to step away from the project that you're working on. And then whenever your high energy is, that's the time you engage in the product. You know, write the sentences you can write, do as much as you can, and then when that's over, it's over, instead of putting ourselves on autopilot where we just have to write until we get it done. I bet you we would be more effective as authors with that as well.
Absolutely. I write a tips newsletter on how to kick customer service up a notch besides the books. It's an online complimentary newsletter, and any of the people who are listening can go to www.humantechtips.com. Well, it was easy when I was writing them, and they were in the 10s and 20s and 30s. We have over 250 of them now.
Right.
I have over 17,000 subscribers. I sit down at the computer, and my mind is absolutely blank. And so I don't do it. But I'll go to sleep that night, and 9 out of 10 times I wake up in the morning with a topic.
Okay.
And then go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you to give us that address again so I can type it in for the people in the chat room.
Okay. It's www.humantechtips.com. Humantechtips.com. That's the complimentary free newsletter. And the book that you were talking about the how to kick the customer service up a notch, is at www.customer-service-expert.com/special with a capital S dot HTM. That shows both the volumes. And then the customer service book is at the publisher site. That's www.championforthehuman.com. Championforthehuman.com.
Okay. And did you not say that you were selling these also on your website?
Yeah. My website is www.human-technologiesplural.com.
Okay. So for our listeners, you can just, if you don't want to have to go to the different mini sites, just go to her site and you can order the books there. And trust me, these books are books that you want to get. They will truly enhance the way you communicate, which in turn will just position you a little bit better to make the sales that you want to make as an author. And we're continuing with the acronym, so that we talked about.
Okay, so now I'm at D. D is right, delegate, right?
Right.
So
right.
Delegate means what can you hand off to someone else? Now, most authors are, you know, wear 17 different hats. I know that.
Exactly, yes.
But what can you delegate? Who can you enroll, and what can you delegate?
Okay.
And then do it. And what does the A stand for? I forgot what the A is.
The A is automate.
Ah, automate. Okay, so what can you take out of old-fashioned and maybe computerize?
Wow, okay.
I'll give you an example. What I've done is I used to do Christmas cards. I used to have someone that works for me address them all. And it would take me forever to get it all together on who I wanted which ones to go to. And now I've created a Christmas list, and I put it by year. It's in the computer. I look it over. I print it out once a year, the latest year. I look it over, and I see if there's anyone that needs to be added or excluded. And then I number the Christmas cards because I have different ones. And the new ones go to the oldest people with me, so I'm not sending the same one at the same year. And then the old ones go to the new people on my list. And that's how I work it. And it's systemized now. Anything that you can systemize automates you. Otherwise, you have a job rather than a business.
Okay. I like that. I like that explanation. And as we continue in your chapter 8, managing time, productively, you talk about rewarding yourself and scheduling some time for fun. So talk to me. Take each one by themselves and explain why is that significant and how does that help us manage our time better? How does it enhance our communication?
Well, if what you do is work, the productivity goes down. It doesn't go up. And sometimes it's really, really hard to push yourself away. It's almost like flypaper.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get up from, I'm just going to finish it. And it's
that
taking longer than it normally would because you need to take a break.
Yeah,
when you take a break and you go away, maybe meet someone for lunch or go on an appointment or just take yourself outside and stand in, like we have sunshine today. I'm in the Northeast and it's winter and it's probably, we're having warm weather. It was 9 degrees a couple days ago. It's probably 50 degrees today. And the sun is shining. Would I know that if I didn't look out the window? Sometimes. But I look out the window and I see the sunshine. Or I'll make a phone call. And that brings me back refreshed as compared to staying beyond the point of no return, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you. And what about rewarding yourself? What's the significance of that?
So that you get into the habit of doing it. Otherwise, you'll only take yourself away in extreme instances. So rewarding yourself is to say, hey, I not only walked away and then finished the project, but now I've got some time because I was so efficient, I'm going to have a bubble bath, or I'm taking myself to the movies, or I'm going to start a new hobby, or I'm going to be creative here, or I'm going to start a new book, whatever it is that works for you.
I got you. You know, Dr. Roseanne, I want to thank you for being with us today. The time is flying by. We have about 17 minutes left, but the information that you have shared with us has been very, very helpful. And for the listening audience, I just want to let you know that this is not the last time we will hear from Dr. Roseanne. We will have her on. We will have her on Monday, the 23rd at 1:00, and we will be discussing her book, Lay Your Cards on the Table, 52 Ways to Stack Your Personal Deck. She spoke about it earlier in the segment, but we will be highlighting that book, and she will be showing us how to do that from the author's perspective. And then on March the 9th, sorry, I'm looking at the calendar. Then on March 9th at 1 o'clock, we will have her once again on a video conference where we will be able to see her put some of this stuff or, you know, watch her instruct or how she does it. So that's going to be a live video interview via Skype. So individuals wanting to listen to that show, you will need to send an email so that we can add you as a contact in Skype, and then that way it will allow you to be a part of the video conference live. Also, this week coming up, don't go anywhere, Dr. Roseanne, we're not through with you, but
okay.
Also coming up this week on Thursday, we have Shura Pickett, from the author of Publishing Possibilities, and she's going to talk with us about how to come up with a plan for your book. Once you've written the book, how do you want to market it? What's the pathways we need to take to get it where we want it to end up? So she's going to talk to us about that at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And then at 6 p.m. on Thursday, we will have author Teresa Butler. She will be spotlighting her book, Simon Says, and it is a children's series, and this is the first book in the series, and this one is Simon Says Share. And so the books just teach ethical principles to children, and it's a very cute book. I've read it, and I'm just excited about having her on air. So as you see, listeners, we are very busy, and we are committed to bringing you the best that we can in information in helping you to promote your books. Now we are back to you, Dr. Roseanne.
Yes.
And again, thanking you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to just visit with us and share the information and your expertise and your knowledge. We just are so grateful for that. What's next for you? What's the next thing that you're going to be working on, the next project?
Well, I have two of them. One
okay.
is I am taking my training and I am putting it in a self-study format.
Okay.
So it's the binder part is done and the CD that has all the PowerPoint is done. And I have hired a graphic designer and the design is done. Now it's just about putting it all together and then writing the copy and making it available for sale. So it's getting close here just yet.
Okay, well, when you get that project done, please let us know. We'd love to have you back on the show to spotlight that one as well.
I absolutely will. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm thinking of doing a teleseminar.
Wow, okay.
And if I do that, it will probably be a series of three.
Okay.
And on various topics, but all of them under the umbrella of communications.
Okay.
And go ahead.
When you do that one, also let us know so that we can let our members and listeners know so that we can be a part of that and watch it and you know, get your experience and your knowledge.
Yeah.
The
thing that I'd like to say for the people that have hung in through the very end, in the beginning, it sounded like this was going to be about customer service, and what it's really about is communication and establishing relationships with people so that in that space you could sell them or you could, you know, interrogate them, but ask them questions and investigate what your options are and
exactly.
if they can help you, like that. Yeah.
Right. So let me, leaving our listening audience with one last thought. If you could only tell them one thing in regards to communication and customer service, what would that one thing be?
Whoa, if I had to pick just one thing. Well, I'm gonna take a little advantage, and I have one thing I would pick. But before I do that, I want to remind them. The two most important words that they can walk away with today is by when. Not to forget by when. For when they are talking to someone, if they say to someone, I'll get back to you soon, that doesn't do it. You say, I'll get back to you by a certain time, and give yourself enough time so that you can come in early so that they know you can be counted on. Mm-hmm. If you say, I'll get back to you by noon, and you call them back at 10 o'clock in the morning, that's impressive. If at 5 after 12 you haven't called, they go, what's going on? They want something from me, and they're not even getting back to me. What's this all about?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. And the last thing that I would say is a very short sentence, and that is, make your life an exclamation, not an explanation. Make your life an exclamation, not an explanation.
I like that. That's good. That's good. And so we thank you, Dr. DeCilio, for just being with us. The information you shared is wonderful. We're looking forward to hearing so much more from you. Hopefully you'll stop by and listen to the show. For those who caught the show, that's wonderful. If you know people who want to hear the show, tell them that they can always go and listen to it live at www.blogtalkradio.com/RightTurnsAlloud. They can also visit our site, and the show will be airing there. The website address is www.RightTurnsAlloud.com. We thank you for joining us this afternoon, for this segment of Communications is Not a Four-Letter Word. We thank you, Dr. DeCilio, for your time and for your wisdom, and we truly look forward to hearing more from you.
It's my pleasure. I've enjoyed it very much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Until next time, bye-bye.